to stay up here tonight. Let me tell you, I'd much rather preach exclusively about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist from John 6 and do that alone. But there's some stuff that needs to be said. And I've had good mentors in my life, even just recently, who have modeled that you take on brutal facts with great directness and honesty. So that's what we're about. Unless you've been completely absorbed in your own life, which may be the case at some level as we start the new school year, you're most likely aware that the clergy sex abuse scandals are back in the headlines in a major way. I think it's important to talk about those tonight. I also think it's important for people to know that, at least in the case of Pennsylvania, those 300 priests who were accused and in some ways convicted, only two of those cases have happened since 2002. And none of the priests named are in service to the church anymore. Either they're dead or they have been cast out. What we have are the gory details coming forward. And man, are they hard to stomach. Shameful, heinous, truly atrocious things that don't belong in the lives of decent people, much less followers of Jesus Christ, much less priests of Jesus Christ. And for the victims, there's no words. There's no excuses. There's no justifications. In no way. What's needed is action. And those actions need to be strong and decisive, and they need to be complete. And I pray that our church leadership will find the backbone to do what's necessary. People in the pews, you who have no fault in this, you have every right to be hurt, confused, and angry. And I feel all those things too, especially the last one. But I have to tell you this. None of this shakes my belief in what the church teaches. In fact, if anything, it just reaffirms it in my mind. This scandal is the result of a radical departure from what God asks of us in terms of our sexuality. And it's the ugly fruit that's born when those types of seeds are sown. It's just one of the filthy things that comes forward when we give license to every sexual desire, when we entertain those and encourage those. And it's awful. Sexual abuse in the church, also in the home and in the school, because it's just as present there. Human trafficking, rape culture, which we're dealing with, as every campus is dealing with. Pornography, all of it is straight up awful. And that's exactly what happens when we say we can do whatever we want. St. Paul was right, Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. And friends, sin never stays at home just with us. It always has an effect on the world. It always has an effect on other people. So we need to be serious about that. I want to address this tonight because I'm sure at some point, maybe even here on this campus, someone will ask you, why stay in the church then? Why not go somewhere else? Why not just leave? And part of me understands that. It really does. But let me give you a line from Father Mike Schmitz, really good priest. I heard this recently, and he said, don't leave the church, lead the church. Don't leave the church over this. Lead the church over this. How do you do that? Well, I want you to look up here. That's part of why I'm preaching from here tonight. Look up there. That's the San Damiano crucifix. It's famous in the Catholic Church for being associated with St. Francis. And it was a very intentional choice, a very intentional choice for this campus. St. Francis, in the year 1205, long time ago, But he, because he was human, had the same questions that you have. He was your age, and he was wondering what his life was all about. He was fairly upper middle class for the time. He had money, he had friends, and for a lot of his youth, he spent it trying to seek pleasure. But there was a restlessness in his heart that I hope is also present in your heart. And so he began to ask bigger questions and think deeper thoughts and look for more meaning in life. And so he found himself going to a small chapel, San Damiano, St. Damien's, outside the city walls of Assisi, where he lived. And in that church, that chapel, he saw that crucifix. And he began praying there, and he looked upon the crucifix. And he'd return, and he'd pray, and he'd keep praying, because something was moving in his heart. And then in a mystical way, the crucifix took life and began to speak to him. And so at this point, I'll tell you the story as Pope Benedict relates it on his catechesis on St. Francis. Three times Christ on the cross came to life and told him, "Go, Francis, and repair my church in ruins." The simple occurrence of the word of God heard in the church of San Damiano contains a powerful symbolism. At that moment, St. Francis was called to repair the small church. And listen now, the ruinous state of the building was a symbol of the dramatic and disquieting situation of the church herself. At that time, the church had a superficial faith, which did not shape or transform life, a scarcely zealous clergy, and a chilling of love. It was an interior destruction of the church, which also brought a decomposition of unity. An interior destruction of the church, which brought about a decomposition of unity. That applies today. But Pope Benedict goes on. "Yet there at the center of the church in ruins was the crucified Lord. And he spoke. He called for renewal. He called Francis to the manual labor of repairing the small church, which was a symbol of a deeper call to renew Christ's own church. With his radicality of faith and his loving enthusiasm for Christ." His radicality of faith and his loving enthusiasm for Christ. Brothers and sisters, at the highest point of this church, that same Christ calls you. Repair the church, which has fallen into ruin. With your radicality of faith and with your loving enthusiasm for Christ, it's such a gift and a privilege to see you come to worship the Lord. And man, does the church need to see that witness. How do we live radical faith? How do we have a loving enthusiasm for Jesus Christ? Well, friends, there's one path and one path alone. And that's the path to sainthood. That is the path. There is one path, sainthood, holiness, and that's it. There's no halfway measures in the Christian walk. The great French writer, Léon Blois, he said, "There's only one tragedy in life, and that's not to have been a saint." There's only one tragedy, not to have been a saint, because a saint lives life to the full. A saint receives every grace that God wants to give and says yes. And then because of that, they become real, living presence. Witnesses of Jesus Christ with radical faith, with loving enthusiasm. And they save the church and they save the world because they're connected to the one Savior and the one Lord. We're called to be saints. But for that to happen, And that is the call for every single person here. For that to happen, there needs to be a holy boldness that, quite frankly, has been lacking in the church and most definitely has been lacking in our world. Where's the holy boldness? The saints had it. They absolutely had it. They had it in spades. St. Therese, the little flower, she said, "I want to love Jesus like no soul has ever loved him before." St. Dominic Savio, 12 years old before he died, he said, "Death before sin. I would rather die before sin." St. Peter Chrysologus, he says, "Prefer nothing to him who preferred nothing to you. Prefer nothing to him because he prefers nothing to you." St. Catherine of Siena, "If you are who you are called to be, you will set the world ablaze." See, there's a holy boldness and a decisiveness in the saints that you and I need to say yes to. We need to be bold. We need to be decisive. We can't straddle issues. We can't worship false gods and then try to worship the real God, whatever those false gods may be: popularity, power, pleasure, reputation, honor. We worship one God. That's the exhortation from Joshua today. First reading: "Decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Well, that's what the saints understood. And see, we're not alone in this call to rebuild the church. The saints are with us. In Hebrews 4, we hear, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," the saints, "let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us." Are you ready to do that? That's the answer to the scandal in the church. That's the answer to the problems in the world. If all of us, with firm purpose and strong resolution and conviction, are ready to rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us. The small ways we compromise and the big ones. And we probably all have both if we're honest. We take seriously the call to holiness. We decide to follow Jesus, to serve the Lord and not any other God, whatever gods those might be. The saints are rooting for us. More than that, they're interceding for us. The same Saint Francis who was called to rebuild the church is praying for you right now, because at every Mass, all the saints are present. But more important than just the saints is this: Jesus Christ is present. He's present in so many ways. From the Catechism of the Church, Christ Jesus is present in many ways to his church, in his word, which we've heard, in his church's prayer, where two or three are gathered in his name, in the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, in the sacraments, in the sacrifice of the Mass, in the person of the minister. But listen now. He is present most especially in the Eucharistic species. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus Christ truly present upon that altar. No greater power, no greater presence. The Lord himself, the one who makes us holy, comes to us so that we can truly become holy. That's why what we're doing is not some entertainment tonight. It's not even a nice thing to do. What we're doing is worshiping the one true God who wants to break into our lives and change our hearts and transform us. That real presence, that realness, that Jesus gives in the Eucharist. That, my friends, is the reason that no matter what happens in the church, no matter what kind of awful filth comes out from further inquiries, I will never leave this church. I will never do it. Because I believe that Jesus is really present there. I hope you feel the same way. Because the essential thing, the main thing, is always about the Lord. And Jesus promised there'd be scandals in the church. He tells a great parable about weeds among the wheat and how somehow, some way, all of that works toward the good for those who love God, as St. Paul says. It's the reason we come, is the Lord. We have a great witness from St. Peter in the gospel today. The disciples, not Jesus' enemies, his disciples can't handle the truth of the Eucharist. They can't believe that Jesus would give his very body and blood as food for them. And so they begin to walk away. His disciples, not his enemies, his disciples. Jesus lets them go because he's not willing to compromise the truth. Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, "Will you also leave?" And then Simon Peter steps forward, acting from the faith that is given him as the first pope. And he says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." That's an act of radical trust, my friends. See, Peter doesn't understand everything, but he trusts Jesus. Where are you going to go? You could leave the church. Might be understandable. But what will you find waiting for you in this culture? Nothing that satisfies the deepest longings of your heart. Because Jesus Christ is the answer to the deepest longing of your heart. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that all of us would have a grace to be convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ. Convinced is a great word. It means to overcome decisively. To overcome decisively. I pray that you have that grace. I pray that I have that grace, no matter what comes forward in the future. To believe in Jesus Christ, to be convinced of him, to be convinced of his real presence in the Eucharist. And if you need a refresher, just read John 6 with an open heart. Truly present. To be convinced that Jesus Christ will never abandon his bride, the church, no matter how many members of the church, whatever their rank, fail him and fail her. Be convinced. Believe. Trust in him. May these words from the book of Joshua convince and maybe even convict us all tonight. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen.